Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, so all that we have invested, we lay all on the line tonight. For us, together, for each other, all right? The journey starts tonight.
Right up the middle, and then he gets the touchdown. He went right over the top and
take this and run with it.
Super Bowl 46 is underway.
Here in the early going, the Giants dominating the line of scrimmage. That's Tom Brockman style.
Throws one. Touchdown, Giants. Victor Cruz on the slam.
That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Mario Manningham.
It's given the Giants the lead, but it was an almost reluctant touchdown by Bradshaw. And now the Super Bowl is going to come down to a Hail Mary. Brady, he is one. The jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over. Finished is what Tom Coughlin said, and Eli Manning and the Giants have finished off the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years.
Welcome in, welcome in. 6 minutes past the hour, wherever you're at in this world, and it's once again the fastest 60 minutes in sports. You're truly on the we used to call the Wheels of Steel. Nowadays, it's the digital world. So, welcome in to what is week one of the National Football League. Welcome in also to what is the beginning of the NBA basketball season. Also, the day after what would have been a tumultuous college football had some things gone as the teams had certainly hoped. But the top five basically, well, the top four at least, certainly hold serve and do what they need to do, so not a lot of changes in college football. We'll get into that and a whole lot more as we get to fast in sports with Truly Vinny Norm at the helm. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. The pre-show before the pregame shows basically was not in that role today. I ended up coming to you in the middle of the afternoon on week nine. And that's just because of logistics, good old-fashioned travels, and things we had to get done today. So we apologize for any of you who were looking for us earlier today. Hopefully you got all the tweets and all the messages about where we'd be today. Coming to you live from Calgary, Alberta today, site of what is the, well, for lack of a better word, the team, the Calgary Stampeders, who basically have been taking care of business in the CFL and are in the playoffs as well. So there'll be more information associated with the Stampeders. Very, very shortly coming as we get into a segment on the CFL. In the meantime, it is now time to talk about yesterday's college football before we get into more of the fun stuff with Week 9 in the NFL. So what happened yesterday in college football? Well, we'll get into LSU-Alabama. Let's run down your top 25 scores first, and then we'll go from there. Number 20, well, that's interesting. Number 25, takes care of UTSA 51-17. I don't want to butcher the name of that school because it's just an acronym. UCLA rolls number 22 Arizona 66-10. An unranked UCLA team puts up 66 on 22nd ranked Arizona. That's not going to go well for those guys. TCU upsets number 21 West Virginia 39-38. Number 20 Nebraska takes care of MSU 28-24. Number 19 loses. Boise loses San Diego State 21-19. Number 23, Texas, takes care of Texas Tech, 31-22, which, it's going to set some things up. Texas A&M, number 16, takes care of number 15, Mississippi State, 38-13. Number 14, Stanford, a 48-0 drubbing of Colorado. Everyone drubs Colorado. Number 13, Clemson, 36-20. Number 12, Oklahoma, 35-20, winner over ISU. Oregon State rallies to come back against ASU and wins 36-26. Number 10, the undefeated Louisville Cardinals, a 45-17 win over Temple. Number 7, Florida, 14-7 win over Mizzou. Georgia, 37-10 win over Mississippi. And what would be probably the most entertaining game yesterday, the Oregon Ducks outlast USC 62-51. That was just a fun game if you like offense. Number 3, Notre Dame was in trouble early but finds a way to get it done against Pitt, winning 29-26. Number 2, K-State, pure offense, just rolls Oklahoma State, even though State put up 30, KSU puts up 44. So they win, and the game of the night in primetime last night was Alabama-LSU. Alabama gets it done late. They were trailing 17-14, had a drive screenplay. Next thing you know, it's a touchdown, and Alabama ekes out the win in a very, very hard-fought game. It was loud, Death Valley, truly an LSU-Alabama atmosphere. Amazing, amazing scene, amazing game, and amazing talent all over that field for both of those programs. It's always a shame when someone has to lose, but Alabama gets it done holding on to the number one spot. What does this mean? Let's run down your rankings real quick so you kind of get an idea and a feel for what that actually means. It means that number five in the AP top 20 now is Ohio State at 10-0. 4 is Notre Dame, 3 is Kansas State, 2 is Oregon, number 1 Alabama. Now, in what may matter to a lot of you, which for some of you it's the USA poll, the USA poll has number 5 Georgia, number 4 Notre Dame, 3 Kansas State, 2 Oregon, number 1 Alabama. Now, here's the deal. Ohio State is 10-0. They cannot participate in postseason because of sanctions. They are the best team probably in the nation next to Alabama. Can Ohio State beat Alabama? Well, unfortunately, you won't get it. Not this year. The rules are rules, and they were unfortunately violated. Again, it's fun to see a team like Penn State who's turned their season around. They're going to be very good next year. Will they be on the second year of sanctions? You know, we'll find that information out. That's the case. That's going to be disappointing as well because that team's going to come out of the gate fast next year as well. But Ohio State at 10-0 under Urban Meyer is setting themselves up for what should be a very, very successful run for a lot of years to come, which will put them in position to compete for a national title, again, many, many times. Alabama's not going anywhere. Oregon's not going anywhere. And now you've got the resurgence of Notre Dame and what appears to be, I don't want to call Kansas State a flash in the pan. They've been good for a long time, and I think they're going to continue to be good. What it means is one-loss teams now really don't have a chance anymore. The Georgias and Floridas and Florida States are going to be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 for a long time. They're going to beat each other up in the SEC. South Carolina is the best 7-2 team in the nation. Unfortunately, they play in the toughest conference nation as well. Louisiana Tech is 8-1. That was the LT that won, that we want to butcher name. Louisiana Tech's 8-1. Now, that may be a flash in the pan. USC is probably better than 6-3. But the Pac-12's gotten better. So Oregon's better. Oregon State's better. So it's not as much a USC whitewash anymore. How long will this last? Well, let's see how really, really good these recruiting guys are. Because it looks like Alabama's going to continue to be a juggernaut. Oregon's proven now that they've got longevity at the top. Ohio State is back, which, you know, again, for a period of time, they were the best recruiting organization in the land. It's always good to see Georgia there. It just means it's good for college football. You expect to see the Floridas and Florida States there. You expect to see LSU in the top 10. You expect to see teams like Oklahoma resurgent. And it's unique because it varies from year to year. UCLA is ranked number 17. After putting 66 points up yesterday, the needle won't move a whole lot, but to see UCLA good again is important. It's impressive. Anyway, so what does it ultimately mean? Well, let's see the BCS standings, because ultimately that's the one that's decided the national title for college football. Right now, if the season were to end today and all things were as they were, that would be Alabama versus Kansas State. Kansas State, of course, is in a unique position of knowing that they could put up points, but having never played defense as talented as Alabama. Notre Dame's proven that they play top 10 opponents to play with them very, very well, to keep the game close and then pull away late. Oregon is an offensive juggernaut who can't stop anybody, so they have to outscore you. LSU is a great defense who basically will try to out-muscle you. So, for entertainment value, can you see Kansas State and Alabama getting it on? And why not? You know, I know a lot of punters would love to see Alabama go up against Notre Dame. I'll tell you, the idea of a 9-6 national championship probably doesn't thrill you. But that's what you might be looking at. Then again, if everything holds serve, and there's really no reason to think it won't, unless one of these teams makes an oops along the way, Kansas State may actually give Alabama a decent football game. Kansas State's defense, not going to stop a lot of people. And if you're a defensive coordinator at Kansas State, I won't say it's going to give you nightmares, but you're looking across the way at that Crimson Tide offense saying, how are we going to slow them down? How are we going to slow down those 300-pound linemen that are pulling, they're quick, you know, with great feet, in that screen game? And their run game, they can slow it down. The game won't get out of hand. Don't misunderstand me. But Alabama's defense is awfully good. They slow K-State down. That's going to get ugly in a hurry. 14 past the hour as we move on. Fastest 60-minute sports here, surely, any more. Let's touch a little bit into some of the NFL, I guess. Well, you want to do NBA? Let's get the NBA. All right, and that's not an indictment anyway. Shape or form. Let's just do our NBA stuff now, okay? There's one game that's gone final today. The Knicks take care of Philadelphia 184. Later on today, you've got the Wolves and Raptors, the Suns and the Magic, the Hawks and the Thunder, and the Pistons and the Lakers later on tonight. I maintain to anyone who is listening that it still comes down to the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers. I'd love to be wrong. I really would. I would love to be very, very wrong. But all indications are now that Miami is the team in the East to beat. Boston will be competitive but won't do much damage. Ray Allen will continue to hit threes. He'll open up things for LeBron and Dwayne Wade. And again, that is a super packed, it's a super team. It's a high power team. And just across the way on the west side of things, you're looking at Powell and Kobe and Dwight Howard. He's the same thing. Now, the fun thing about the Lakers on the NBA is that there are teams in the West that are much more competitive. Yeah, and it's funny to see, of course, that you probably have all heard about the James Harden trade. Harden been traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Houston Rockets. And since that trade has kind of, I won't say gone off the rails, but certainly has proven himself, at least in the first few games, to be incredibly valuable to the Houston Rockets. So what does this mean? Well, uniquely enough, it means Houston's 2-1, and either Harden seems to be their guy. Of course, they're in a division in the Southwest with San Antonio, Dallas, New Orleans, Memphis, where it's going to be interesting. Somebody's going to come out of that division. It looks like it'll probably be San Antonio, but Dallas, they'll get Dirk back in a few weeks and they'll be competitive. And so we'll see what Houston can become if they can continue to hang in there. And the funny thing is, while I still say that the Lakers are the team, the Lakers get out of the gate 0-3. And there'll be some panic, about the fourth or fifth loss if they don't have a couple of wins somewhere mixed in there. They'll go into panic state. They don't know any better. That's what Laker fans do. They're a lot like Yankee fans in baseball. Get out of the gate slow. They're like Red Sox fans. When the Red Sox really had a rough year this year, they were just all over that squad, all over the leadership, all over the owner, all over the GM. Everything was under scrutiny. Well, again, it is what it is. The funny thing is the Minnesota Timberwolves have only played one game in the Western Conference, and they're sitting in first place. So much for your schedule makers. It'll level itself off all in good time. In the meantime, on the east side, for those of us in the middle earth, the Bulls are 2-1 after literally laying an egg against New Orleans the other night. That's, again, New Orleans doesn't do anything to surprise you. You play sound football, basketball, probably beat New Orleans, and that's how they lost. So, Milwaukee's undefeated, 2-0 in the Central, and they lead the Bulls by the half game. The Knicks are currently undefeated after winning again today. The Brooklyn Nets have only played one game, but they put 107 points on someone, and they're in second place. It's just weird to see Brooklyn instead of New Jersey. I haven't seen the new stadium, but that will be interesting as well to see. All right, so that's your NBA love. There's not much really else to talk about where NBA is concerned. We'll wait and see as that thing starts to unfold throughout the season. But now, to what just about everybody this afternoon is really, really involved in, which, of course, is the NFL. You're all watching games. You're all enjoying yourselves. It's a wonderful Sunday afternoon wherever you're at in the world. Green Bay looks like it's going to go to, that game's on final, 31-17 over Arizona. Bears, of course, take care of Tennessee, 51-20. Detroit, Jacksonville, 14. Houston takes care of Buffalo 21-9. Of course, Thursday night, San Diego took care of Kansas City 31-13. The Broncos have gone to 5-3, winning in Cincinnati 31-23. Games either just getting started. The Vikings a 7-0 lead over Seattle. Tampa Bay and Oakland are scoreless. And in the fourth quarter, what's turned out to be a pretty interesting game, the Colts 23-20 over the Dolphins. Again, both of those teams fighting for what could ultimately be, by many accounts, a shot at a playoff with both rookie quarterbacks. Turns out that game was pretty impressive. Colts were the favorite in that game. So, again, with 46 seconds left to go, Colts up 23-20. Tonight's game, Sunday night affairs, Pittsburgh and the Sunday afternoon affair later on, Pittsburgh and the New York Giants. Sunday night, Dallas at Atlanta. What's the Monday game this week? Philly and New Orleans tomorrow night. Now for those of you NFC North fans, like I myself am, you've got to wonder, what it's like to have a 7-1 Bears team that, the combined records of the team they played now basically are 17-26. They're not very good, and all that's going to change. and I mean that with all the love in my heart as a Bears fan, all that's going to change starting next week. The Houston Texans come calling into Soldier Field. That will be obviously a very, 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 very interesting situation for our buddies in the black and orange. Not really sure exactly how Houston will fare against that Bears defense. Not sure how the Bears will respond against Houston's very, very solid defense as well. Both defenses 1 and 1A, if you want to put them on paper. Also, in the way, you've got, we're looking at week 10 now. You've got Indianapolis to Jacksonville on the Thursday night. That's the Thursday night affair, right? You've got Sunday the Giants and Bengal, Titans and Dolphins, Lions, Vikings, Bills, Patriots, Atlanta at New Orleans, Chargers at Tampa, Broncos at Carolina, Oakland at Baltimore, Jets at Seattle, Dallas at Philly, St. Louis at San Francisco, and, of course, Houston at Chicago. And that will be the Sunday night affair. So Monday night, 12th of November, which would actually be the day that we celebrate. For those in Canada, it's called Remembrance Day. For those in the States, it's Veterans Day. Will be Kansas City at Pittsburgh. And it was once upon a time when that game used to mean something. Kansas City certainly has fallen off the rails. Pittsburgh's still a viable opponent. He will play great defense and run the ball really, really well. And that game will probably go in the way. So let's make some prognostications for week 10. Let's stick our head in the guillotine and see what we get out of this. Thursday, November the 8th, Jacksonville and Indianapolis should win that game. Thankfully, this is all recorded, so yours surely cannot come back and say I didn't say that. Sunday, Giants at Cincinnati. We're going to take the Giants, even though they still haven't had their dud yet. Tennessee at Miami. Miami's much, much better at home. Detroit at Minnesota. We're going to lean to Minnesota on this one just because Minnesota needs to come home, get a little home cooking, and kind of usurp itself against a team that is suspect. Buffalo at New England. That should be a Patriots. I won't say a route, but it'll be a Patriots win sufficient enough to make a statement. Atlanta at New Orleans. This is the game where many of us think that the Atlanta Falcons will fall. If they have not fallen at this point so far, they will fall here in New Orleans with Drew Brees and a team that's fighting for his collective lives. At least right now, sitting at one win, trying to get it together. This is where they get if they're going to turn around, it starts here at this point of the season. I like New Orleans to upset Atlanta next day. Tampa Bay should be a really, really good game. Should be entertaining, but I think Tampa Bay actually is playing a lot better than San Diego is across the board. And I think Tampa Bay probably gets that done, especially at home. Denver at Carolina, Peyton Manning, that offense is rolling. Carolina is struggling to find its identity, even though they look really, really good today. Denver seems to have turned a solid corner, playing good defense as well as playing solid offense. Eric Decker's come into his own as a wide receiver, so why not? Denver should take care of Carolina. Oakland at Baltimore. Baltimore will slow the game down, continue to pound Ray Rice and play solid defense, and they should take care of Oakland. New York Jets at Seattle. It's only tough because you just don't know which version of the Jets you're going to get, but I like Seattle to win that game at home. Dallas at Philadelphia. On paper, Dallas should blow Philadelphia out, but as has been proven in the past, Philadelphia and Dallas, it's never, ever predictable. So I'm going to call that one a toss-up. We'll lean toward Philadelphia because they're at home. St. Louis to San Francisco should be the Niners all day long. Chicago is an interesting one, because it's really going to come down to how much the Bears' defense is going to give up. Houston's defense has been proven to be very, very stout as well in a lot of different areas. I don't know the names of their corners, but I understand that they're very, very good. So you could very easily see a 17-14 game here with, again, a very close tie. If Cutler starts throwing picks again, we'll get away from Scott Murray. But I'm going to lean to what appears to be dominant Chicago Bears, at least in the last few weeks, putting up 51 on Tennessee today. And they finally did late in the game, got some offensive rhythm going. So we'll be the homer and go Chicago in that game. 24 past your hour. The fastest 60-minute sports rolls on. The Monday night affair, Kansas City at Pittsburgh on November the 12th. That's going to be Pittsburgh. And teams on a bye that week, Cleveland, Green Bay, Arizona, and Washington. For those of you who, are, for lack of a better word, what comes to this, God bless you, because it's going to be fun. If you're going to the window, you've already gone to the window today, so that is what it is. We'll leave that much of it alone. I would contend you to be very, very cautious with a few of these games now as I won't say the structure names, but as the more competitive teams start to play each other. This might be a time when you may want to just literally shy away from that situation. So back to the NFL for today. You have, I'm just looking at the scoreboard. There really aren't a lot of shocks. I think the greatest shock, of course, the Bears putting up 51 on anybody, because it's been a long time since they've done that. 51 on Tennessee. Munchak's going to have to take those Tennessee Titans back there and really do some learning from those guys. We'll see how that plays itself out. In the meantime, Detroit taking care of Jacksonville. Well, it was predicted. Detroit's a better team. Jacksonville's one of the worst teams in the league. Carolina and Washington is intriguing only because it was 21-13 as the final, and the Washington Redskins were the favorite in this game. The Bears took care of Carolina last week, literally after losing a game for 3.5 quarters and then waking up and deciding to play football in the last 7-8 minutes of the game, such as how the Bears got it done then. This week, Carolina maybe took something from that and is learning how to finish games. So, anyway, we would normally give you your rankings for your fantasy players today, but the middle of the actual NFL day is in full swing, so I don't know if there's any real value. I'll tell you what. Maybe we can just have some quick fun with it. Why not? If we want to do that, I'm good with that. Let's go ahead and run them down just for posterity's sake. Why not, right? Why not? All right. Let's see what we got here. Oh, looks like they pulled the ranks down. Did they? No. Let's see if they pulled the ranks down, guys. No, here they are. Here we are. Our week down ranks are right here. All right, so we're able to do this, and this is a good thing. 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 All right, so let's run this down. Top 10 defenses this week going into today. For those of you who still maybe have fantasy decisions to make later on, if you hear your team's name, be sure you make that move and go ahead and start them. Number 10 this week was the Giants at Pittsburgh. That game hasn't happened yet, so the Vikings, just underway, should be 7-7. Baltimore that comes in number 8. Number 7, the Detroit Lions. Of course, that's Jacksonville. Number 6, Denver against Cincinnati. Number 5, Atlanta against Dallas. Number 4, Seattle against Minnesota. Number 3, the Green Bay Packers, of course, getting against Arizona. Number 2, the Houston Texans at Buffalo. I'm sorry, at home against Buffalo. And number 1 was indeed your Chicago Bears this weekend. The Bears made you very, very happy. If you haven't heard, look at the stats from today's game against Tennessee. The Bears' defense was getting it in very easily. I mean, I believe they had the one touchdown with the Urlacher pick. Easily could have had more on the defense. McMahon with a block punt. Urlacher with the pick six. The separation from Peanut Tillman and Kelvin Hayden picks up the ball is almost a touchdown. He got down to the 1. I mean, you have a Bears' defense that is scoring like most offenses score. So, fun stuff. This week, Robbie Goldberg, Mason Crosby, 8, Justin Tucker of Baltimore, 7, Sean Swisham in Pittsburgh, 6, Shane Graham in Houston, number 5, Jason Hanson in Detroit, number 4, Blair Walsh in Minnesota, number 3, Sebastian Janikowski, number 2, Matt Bryan in Atlanta, and number 1 this week, Lawrence Tynes of the New York Giants gets the nod. To the tight ends, number 10 this week, Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota, Greg Olsen, Carolina, Brandon Pettigrew in Detroit, Brent Celek in Philadelphia, Martellus Bennett of the New York Giants, Owen Daniels of Houston, Heath Miller in Pittsburgh, Tony Gonzalez in Atlanta, Jason Witten in Dallas, and like many weeks when he's healthy, Jimmy Graham comes in at number 1, New Orleans at Philadelphia. To the wide receivers now. For those of you West Coast fans, don't panic. Your 49ers are actually on a bye this week, so now that you're without, they're really on a bye. Just be patient, okay? All right, top wide receivers for week 9. Going down, number 10, number 9, Vincent Jackson, number 8, Marcus Colson, number 7, Percy Harvin, number 6, Calvin Johnson, number 5, Victor Cruz, number 4, Reggie Wayne, number 3, Demaryius Thomas. I love that name, love seeing his name at the top. Number 2, A.J. Green in Cincinnati, and number 1 this week, and this will be a first for them in a very long time, Brandon Marshall of the Bears going up against Tennessee. Boy, Tennessee must be bad. Well, if you got to see any of the game, you saw the Bears put up 51 points. You see the one touchdown the Titans got came in scrub time, making that score a little bit less disastrous at 51-20, but that game was over early. All right, moving on to the running backs. And I'll be stunned if Matt Forte is not at the top of this list as well, only because just the situation that exists there and the matchup that's there. Okay, what is this? That's a pretty good-sized fish he's got in his hand. All right. Oh, that was crazy. Week 9, your running back, Dougie Martin out of Tampa Bay. Number 9, Willis McGahee. Number 8, Trent Richardson. Number 7, Adrian Peterson. Number 6, Marshawn Lynch. Number 5, Alfred Morse. Number 4, Matt Forte of the Bears. Number 3, Shaney McCoy of Philly. Number 2, Ray Rice. And number 1, Arian Foster up against Buffalo. And again, this was week 9. I mean, trust and believe, you will see a dramatically different set or shift, if you will, as these competitive games start to come knocking on a lot of teams' doors. So some teams have had an absolute cakewalk, and that is really, really, truly about to change based on the schedulers. The later games of the season that actually makes sense. Number 10, this is your quarterbacks now. Number 10, Eli Manning. Number 9, Cam Newton. Number 8, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 7, Michael Vick. Number 6, Matthew Stafford. Number 5, Matt Ryan. Rob Griffin III. Number 3, Peyton Manning. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers. Number 1, Drew Brees. And again, it's all matchup driven, I'm sure. Kind of hard, especially with what's going on now. Kind of hard out with that list. It is what it is. Are you Bear fans thinking Cutler was going to get some love because of the matchup? He came in at number 17 this week. All right. 32 past the hour. For those of you who were the least bit concerned about rankings and things of that nature, stop it. Just stop it. It's not going to help your team win anything. You really want to help your team? Put a jersey on, paint your face, and go out there and show them some love. Okay? We'll leave that right there. All right. There's a scoring alert out of Tampa Bay and Oklahoma, but maybe that's just – oh, I'm sorry. The Oakland Raiders must be in the red zone. I think that's all it means. Minnesota sales at 7. 7 minutes to go first quarter. Oakland inside the red zone on Tampa Bay with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Still officially no score. Let's go check out our CFL and see what we're looking like today on what would be, I believe, the final week of the Canadian Football League, with Calgary literally making a statement against a good Edmund Espinosa team. The game was largely one-sided, got close late. But let's run down this your scores. The Toronto Argonauts are 43-41 over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. The Calgary Stampeders are with a 30-27 winner over the Edmonton Eskimos. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers win a game 19-11 on Montreal Alouettes. And BC, the Lions, take care of Saskatchewan 17-6. So, what does that mean? Well, ultimately, what it means is your playoffs are largely set. Now, I don't know how this is going to play out because, again, not quite sure on the playoff structure, but there are 6 teams that have officially made the playoffs. And I need to make sure I'm saying this right. Okay. And it's the dynamic of the league, but 6 teams go into the playoffs. Okay. BC, of course, at 13-5, certainly well deserving. Calgary, 12-6, certainly well deserving. Montreal, 11-7, fine. Okay. Toronto gets in with a 9-9 record. Saskatchewan gets in with an 8-10 record. Edmonton gets in with a 7-11 record. Wow. That's really all I can say about that. Just wow. I will be curious to see how this will play out. So BC gets the bye, and Montreal gets the bye for being the division leaders, which means number two in each of the divisions will host a home game. So Toronto and Calgary host the home games. Calgary gets Saskatchewan, and Toronto gets Edmonton. and what should be, again, largely, you know, maybe even one-sided games. Kudos to John Cornish, who breaks a very, very long-standing record for single-season rushing, and Jerry Shirt from Edmonton for the single-season tackle, again, in the single season for the Edmonton Eskimos. Again, both impressive records. Both young men have had great seasons. Cornish gets a lot of love, again, he's a running back, and that's kind of common. But it's good to see that happen. Now, my prognostication to anyone who can hear my voice is, if you truly, truly believe that the CFL has to be different than the NFL, that's fine. 619-639-4747. I would tell you that I think the NFL could get all of its Canadian love they could possibly get from all these markets here if they made a little investment. And even if they took four, you don't have to take all eight, but take four of the CFL teams and make them part of the National Football League. I'll tell you, there are some teams that probably can compete. Okay? On some level, they can compete with you. And again, one pool is completely swung open. And if you're taking a team like Calgary, Montreal, BC, and I don't know, let's say Montreal, Toronto, yeah, Calgary, and BC, or Saskatchewan, either one, and let those four or five teams come together. And even the players, they can disband the CFL as it currently exists, take all the players, even from the Hamilton Cats, Winnipeg Bombers, and merge all of them together and allow these guys to get the talent together to compete on the biggest stage. For what it's worth, I think it'd be a tremendous amount of time, a tremendous amount of fun. Yes, it's time-consuming to get it done, but I really, really like the idea of, you know, the CFL players getting a shot at some of that NFL exposure. Because, again, the NFL is the dance. When this season is on right now, there is not a better product and a better game. You know, next to, of course, for those of us here in Calgary and Canada, our love for hockey, okay? Just is what it is, so... All things being equal, that's it for your love. Let's talk a little bit about the NHL. The last deal was taken off the table by the owners. So we don't know where we stand with the lockout, but we also are hearing now that certain games have been canceled. The Classic, which would have been sometime in January, has now been canceled. It's looking more and more like the NHL season is going to be lost. And of course, it's unfortunate because people can't get out of each other's way. Okay, that's all there is to it. Rich and rich and a few not so rich can't seem to get it together yet. You know, if the NBA can get it together, the NFL can get it together, you have to wonder exactly what is the NHL's real problem. And even this resolution, this is the second stoppage in 4 to 5 years. So how do you get past that? How do you get your fan base back? Because the more this drags on, the more and more people simply find other things to entertain themselves. And for a league and a talent such as the NHL to be as good as it has been, especially the last couple of years, this is an absolute shame. The fans deserve better. The fans deserve more. All right, 38 past the hour. Taking a break. Be back right after this.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Suite Life on Deck. With over 128 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Mmm.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mmm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mmm.
Hey, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton Green Tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton Tea can do that.
Welcome back on the ride. Trying to see, guys, if we can find a way to get you. I'd like to do some comparison of what actually happened today. Our prognostication going into this week. So I'm going to play this. I'm going to hope that you guys can hear it. It, I believe, is about 2.5 minutes long. It would have been the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Block Show this week, brought to you by our friends over at ESPN Radio and Pig Antifreeze. Antifreeze. So we'll crank it up a little bit. Hopefully you guys can hear it, and I'll be back to you right after we hear this from our friends at ESPN.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN Radio exclusive.
I call it giving up a week out of my motto this week is it just doesn't make any sense.
Hey, wait a minute. What are we doing?
The Dallas Cowboys keep out playing everybody in their pants and they keep losing. It just doesn't make any sense.
The receiver's hand is out of bounds.
But because of the team that finds a way to lose and they're on the verge of having their season knocked out from under them, now they're going on the road to Atlanta where the Falcons are unbeaten. It's no sense that the Cowboys are winning, and yet they're going to. Don't ask me to explain how, but they will. The Cowboys just aren't going to fall out of this thing. They're too good for that.
Straight back to throw.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. Touchdown, Giants. They're going to knock the Falcons from the rank of the unbeaten. They're getting 4.5 points. Give me the points. I like the Cowboys on the road for the win.
The whole strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Wow, I don't know about that. I think KOD just came back to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to go to Tennessee, where the Titans are hosting the Chicago Bears. The Bears on the road giving 3.5 points. I just absolutely...
Okay. Hopefully you guys got a chance to hear all that. We'll compare. Obviously, the Bears did take care of business today against what we'd love to say is a game Tennessee squad. Unfortunately, this game got away from them. The Bears' defense is just unconscionable, and there'll be more love and more focus on, obviously, the Bears. Yeah, I got to tell you something. If you're a Chicago fan, you're sitting there 7-1, you're looking up, you see Green Bay, and Detroit trying to chase you down. Green Bay seems to have kind of got the offense together now, despite the losses of Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson. Houston is good. Indy is competitive. Carolina is competitive. Seattle, competitive. If you're the Bears, who are you really truly concerned about? Let me tell you who you're concerned about. You're concerned about the New York Giants. You're concerned about the Green Bay Packers. I don't know that you're concerned about anyone else in the league next to that in terms of, because it would appear that the winner this year, the Super Bowl winner, at least on paper, is not going to come from the AFC. Unless, of course, Denver runs deep and Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning on any given day can beat anybody. We won't even have that debate. And, of course, there is the 49ers. And we're going to find out what that status is in 2 weeks. So for those of us in Middle Earth, yeah, the next 2 weeks are going to be very, very interesting. Because if they get your popcorn ready, because that's going to be a lot of fun to have a conversation about. In the meantime, Seattle's gone up on Minnesota 14-7. Oakland a 3-0 lead on Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh and the Giants are now underway. Minnesota score that ball game. For those of you who will be watching anything other than the NFL today, I don't know why you do that. And for those of you who would even care to chase me down. I see some of you all chasing me on Twitter, some of you chasing me on Facebook, which is great. The party that's going to be on December the 7th, guys, there is a limit. So don't be mad if you don't see the invitation. Don't be mad if I don't accept you coming. And that's not personally. Trust me and believe it's not personal. There's only 150 spots, and it was truly first come, first serve of all of you. I love you all. There's nothing you can do about it. 46 past the hour. And my friends in Middle Earth in Chicago, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To my friends here in the province of Alberta up in Canada. I love you. Thank you so much for all the support you give to the show. Again, a programming note, as we get near the turn of 2013, we'll be focusing on a lot of the issues of domestic violence, a lot of the issues in societal. We'll talk a little bit of politics. For those of you in the United States, Election Tuesday, be sure everyone gets out there and votes. I will pound you and pound you and pound you through every possible media known to mankind. Get out there and vote. The one thing you have to usurp a lot of things in this world is simply your ability to go vote. I have voted. I got a chance to participate in early voting. I did that. I'm feeling pretty proud of myself. First time I've actually early voted. It was worth being in the line for about an hour. It was an experience, no complaints. They had about 17 voting booths in there when I went in and did what I needed to do, which was phenomenal. So kudos to the people in the little suburb of Matteson, Illinois, for having it all together and having a process by which to get that done for those of us who work out of the country. Again, thank you so much for everything that you do. 48 past the hour. I don't want to just take this conversation with you, but you're into 619-639-4747. To my girl Faye in California, I look forward to seeing you in December. To my big brother Rich, I look forward to seeing you in December. To the grandkids all over the world, I love you. Look forward to seeing you guys soon. For those of you trying to find out what we're going to talk about next week, well, we're going to talk NFL, obviously, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more NBA love to share with you as we get an update on what's going on with Derrick Rose and the Bulls. Hopefully that situation, again, the Bulls have some tough decisions. Do they squander the season and just hope the team can just be competitive, or do they actually feel like they can go out there and do something? It's going to be interesting to see exactly how Paxton and Gar Foreman take that team forward without Derrick Rose. Hopefully there's news on the NHL. And if Alabama should lose, which we don't think they will, but if they should lose, it will be headline news. They'll break in whatever we're doing with Hurricane Sandy. Alabama should lose in college football. It's just unlikely to happen. If they were going to lose, it was going to be against LSU last night. That just didn't happen. So 49 past the hour. Again, I hope you know I love you. Hope you know there's nothing you can do about it. Sometime today, get yourself a nice big bowl of Tostitos Mild Salsa. They're not a sponsor. I just happen to like them. And maybe your favorite brand of chips, tortilla chips or otherwise, and enjoy some great salsa chips and the rest of the afternoon of NFL football action. Again, kudos to the San Francisco Giants for winning the World Series. I still can't believe they swept the Tigers in four straight. That just doesn't seem like that should have happened, but it is what it is. For the hot stove stuff to start now, you know, and shifts and moves, the Cubs entertaining the notion to bring Ryan Dempster back to the rotation. Actually, I think that's a really, really good move. I know they're trying to build something special in Chicago. It's going to take about 3 to 4 years to see the fruits of the labor, but hey, they're headed in the right direction. For those of you who look for highlights for all the sports, you have NFL Red Zone, which you can find online. You have a variety of websites that will show you all your highlights for all your games today, if anything you missed. Check out NFL.com for all the best big play highlights. Also, NBC tonight for your Sunday night affair between Dallas and Atlanta. I will indeed be enjoying that game tonight. Without consternation, I will be shutting off cell phones, shutting out all types of communications. I think I just want to sit back, enjoy it, get my favorite chips, favorite salsa, something cold to drink, and relax and enjoy what I hope is a Dallas game. You will never hardly ever hear me root for Dallas until tonight. I know it's in Atlanta, and I know they have very little chance of winning it, but Dallas on paper should win this football game. So that defense, DeMarcus Ware should introduce himself to Matt Ryan a lot of times tonight. So that is the hope. I just the game can't start quick enough for me. In the meantime, to what for some people think might be a preview to a potential Super Bowl, the Giants with 4 halves left in the quarter, still no score in that game. You know, we have that ability, and we should try that. We have never done that. Let's do that. Let's try this now. Let's try this right now. Let's see, how is this going to work? Guys, bear with me a second. 9 minutes before we shut it down. I want to see if we can actually do this. Can we do that? Giants Steelers right now. Okay. So if we come Giants Steelers. So in television, I think they call them live look-ins. So what we're going to try to do is see if we can do a live look-in on Giants Steelers via radio. Don't know if this is going to work, but it's going to be fun to try. So, and those alerts in the background will get my attention. I'm not going to say something nice about your football team because your football team didn't play well today. Now, deal with it. Oh, that was me? That was rude? I didn't think that was me. I told them the truth. All right, let's see here. It's going to be a live looking if we can get this thing to pop with the Steelers and the Giants. We'll keep the audio up so you can hear it. Giants went back and forth. Eli's just been picked off by Ike Taylor. Fun stuff. So there was our live look-in on that football game. Again, Steelers, Giants, no score. Seven minutes to go. I've already given you all the love that I possibly can give you today. It is what it is. The Fast 60 Minutes of Sports will roll on next week. Again, just a reminder in the program, you know, we'll be talking about things, societal things down the pipe, domestic violence being the big one. I had a chance to get on a plane recently with a young lady named Jennifer Meza, who we talked a little bit about relationships and upbringings and so on and so forth, and it was harrowing to hear her talk about her experiences and some of her friends' experiences with guys who just weren't so nice. So for the guys out there, guys, I need your help. A lot of you guys are really great guys, and you understand the value that is the women in your lives, whether it's a mom, a girlfriend, your wife, whatever it might be, your sister, you don't want anything bad to happen to people you love. And unfortunately, there are people in this world that still believe that the old machoistic mentality that it's okay to put your hands on a woman still exists. And I'll be the first one to tell you, it's never, ever cool. It's never cool to raise your hand to a young lady. It's never cool to put your hands on her. It's never cool to do anything that harms her, brings harm, bodily harm, physical harm, mental harm, sexual harm, any way, shape, or form. None of that is ever, ever cool. All right, I'll get on my soapbox. If you're in front of me, I'll get in your face. All right, I mean that with all the love in my heart. I will get in your face. Never, ever raise your hand to the women in your life. If you know some neighbors, and you know, maybe the neighbor's got a daughter, and the daughter's got a boyfriend and a situation going on, I know a lot of us would love to believe that that's none of our business, but I'm telling you, when you hear numbers like 1 in 3 women in this world will be victims of abuse in their lifetime in some way, shape, or form. Financial abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, domestic abuse in so many different factions. It has to stop. So my challenge to the men today is to take this thing to the young men, because that's where they're getting it from us. They're not getting it from, you know, they can say, well, my dad did it. The bottom line is it's got to stop. We got to get down to the neophytic level of this whole thing, even if we have to get down to the spermicide seed. It has to stop. I know she may have said some things that got you off the square. I know she might have done some things, but I'm telling you right now, in this pocket of time right now, it's got to stop. You enjoy all the sports talk that we do, all the sports things that we, you know, get involved in, baseball, football, hockey, boxing, whatever it may be. You'll enjoy it a heck of a lot more knowing that there's no aspersion or no cast of shadow over you, that you're not going to explode over something as simple as, you know, she didn't cut your hair, you know, the way you liked it, or the chicken wasn't cooked, you know, hard enough, or the eggs weren't perfect. And your response, because maybe you're a little spoiled, is to take it out on her in some shape or form, or in front of your kids, or take it out on your kids. There's so many variables that go on and in, and I understand everyone's life is uniquely dynamic, but that is one aspect that you can control. You can control whether or not you put your hands on your girlfriend. You can control whether or not you put your hands on your wife. You can control these things. You can, and for what it's worth, I believe you have to. You simply have to. Stop making excuses. All right. 3 minutes. 3 minutes left in the ride. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it, fans. For my friends in Chicago, I love you. I'll see you very, very soon, about another 16 days, as we get ready for the big birthday party, as yours truly is turning the big 5-0. Yes, I still act like I'm 25. I'm proud to say that. I'm still proud to say that I'm not afraid to do things that will probably inflict a little bit. I'm not the thrill seeker that a lot of people like to think I am. I'm not. I'm not one to go jumping off a cliff with a hang glider. I'm not a bungee nut like that. But I will advocate. I will fight for the things I believe in. And I do it in a manner that hopefully puts a smile on your face. We don't always have to see eye to eye. That's a beautiful thing. We don't always have to agree. That's okay. I respect you. I respect your right to have your opinion, and I will defend your right to have that opinion wholeheartedly. All right? We don't have to agree. I can be a Republican. I can be a Democrat. I prefer to be an independent, a free thinker. I don't have to go to the left or to the right. I just want the best for the nation, the best for my family, and that's the way that's what guides me. My faith is what guides me. I want the best, and I want the best for you. And as we turn the corner, get ready into this holiday season. Now, Thanksgiving's on the horizon in the U.S. Halloween is now behind us. It's all a big push about the holiday season, gift giving, and Christmas, and what Christmas really means. Let's be nicer to each other this year. For those of you who will play this back, I'll tell you again. Let's start to be nicer. Let's start to be kinder. Let's have a great holiday season. I want you to be safe, be the best that you can be, love hard, play hard, and come back and see us at every opportunity on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. I'm Vinny Moore. This is my presentation to you for week 9 of the National Football League and everything that is. There's nothing you can do about it, and I really, really despise that woman for doing that. But I will get over it. Have yourself a great day. This concludes it. We'll see you next week only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports.